what time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren. And now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material. Because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the river Styx.
Abandon all hope!
My flaps were on frickin' fire. In the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steel and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. We talked a little bit about some goings-on at Nevermore. You had a magical theory, what should we call it, workshop last week?
We can call it that, yes.
Got another one coming up August the 2nd. You're going to do a class on necromancy?
Yes.
Yeah, those workshops, right now you're doing like a 6 o'clock thing?
6:30.
Yeah, everybody mark down August 2nd. Is there just like a suggested donation or something like that? I noticed you did for the last one just a suggested donation.
We did. We'll do that again, a suggested donation of $10.
Okay.
Just come on out. We were doing the classes at 6, but some of our attendees come from like Hendersonville. They just need a little bit of extra time to get there.
Sure.
So I'll be there.
Sure, and 6:30 is nice. People that have to get off from work, maybe they want to run home and grab a bite to eat, have a shower or something, still have time to make it over to Nevermore, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. And you are right next door to the family coin shop, Wright's Coin. And
yes.
How is it over there, need I ask? It's always pretty busy,
it's
right?
It's always pretty busy over there. Every time I pop my head in and look in the cases, there's something new and exciting, and you never know what you're going to find.
I know Greg Capps, great guy. He's been with the shop for a long time, right?
Really long time, yeah.
How long's Greg been around?
He's maybe worked at the coin shop for, I want to say maybe 5 years or so. But
right?
I've known him since he was in high school.
Right.
So, yeah, he's just kind of one of the family.
A number of folks there in the shop bringing, you came up with like a total figure of years of experience represented by staff at the coin shop, and
yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Just between my dad and Michael and Greg, you have like 120 years of experience. That doesn't include that I've worked at the coin shop for 14 years.
Right.
And Mom's been working at the coin shop for however many years.
The whole time, pretty
too.
Much, right?
Right, right.
That is a wealth of experience and people who do a fair trade. That's what keeps a local business like Wright's Coin in operation for 44 years,
mm-hmm.
or right about that, is just doing an honest business with their people. And that's why people keep coming back year after year, decade after decade, dealing with Wright's Coin Shop. You've got some customers that have probably been coming in all along, right?
I have.
Watching people come in that were young parents at the time who are grandparents now, sending their grandkids off to mm-hmm. College on their coin collections, in some cases paying their grandkids way through college, I imagine. That's Wright's Coin Shop, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, and they buy, sell, and swap all sorts of coins and precious metals. What's the phone number down there, Shelley?
For Wright's Coin Shop, it's 828-298-5402.
298-5402. Mm-hmm. And if they want to call over to Nevermore and order a spell kit or consult with Shelley, what's the phone number there?
The number is 828-505-3182.
505-3182. Okay, that's it. You got Shelley's number, you lucky listeners. So check her out, call her up, consult with Shelley. She's always got information on interesting things. And the folks next door Well, that's your one-stop coin shop. I told the coin story about the 1943 penny and how I thought it was a message from my grandfather as I came back to work to quit feeling sorry for yourself, or at least a reminder to me that people in other times and other situations had it a lot rougher than we did, and we have a lot to be thankful for. Our first story in the Dark 30 Hour, a coin tale. Elderly passenger chucks coins into plane's engine for luck. Causes a five-hour delay in Shanghai, China. A superstitious passenger delayed a flight from Shanghai for several hours after throwing coins at the plane's engine for good luck, Chinese officials say. The elderly woman was detained by police at Shanghai Pudong International Airport following the bizarre incident, forcing nearly 150 passengers to be evacuated from the plane and causing a five-hour delay. The 80-year-old threw 9 coins at the engine of China Southern Airlines flight as she was boarding on the tarmac. 8 of the coins missed their target, but one nestled inside an engine, airport police said, adding that a passenger spotted her and reported it to authorities. Police at the airport said the woman was a devoted Buddhist and believed the coin offering would ensure her safety on the flight. The woman will not face police action. I was at the airport in Greenville one time, and when we were passing a shallow fountain, I looked in and I saw what I believe to be an Oriental coin, because it
That's
had
not
some
politically correct
some
guys.
Some weird edges and a hole drilled out in the middle of it. I don't know, an Eastern coin. What? I didn't know what it was. A mystery coin from another country. And what I did was I had my son stand watch for me. I said, stand here in front of the camera, and I'm going to sit down.
Stan, nice to meet you.
I'm going to sit down here on the edge of the fountain and reach down in there and see if I can't get this. So I had to lay down and reach into the bottom of the fountain to fish this coin out. So I stole someone's wish. Wow, there's a lot of stories about Vance picking things up today.
I was watching this show recently. It was like one of those, like, you know, like how things are made shows or something like that. And it was talking about the job or weird jobs or something. And it was about the people who had to collect the coins out of fountains.
Somebody else was talking to me about that show. Said
like
it was
in
pretty
Las Vegas or something, like where people are always throwing change and pennies into the fountains. Well, it ends up accruing, and it's thousands and thousands of dollars.
Right.
So the company cleans it off, and they get a percentage of
right.
the cut. But it's like it gets all this weird algae on it, and they have to put it through all sorts of chemicals to get it back to usable.
Was it the show where a guy had like a $20 gold coin or something that somebody he had found in a fountain? Obviously, like a kid or somebody had got somebody really, really, really needed that wish to come true. But there was a guy whose job was cleaning the coins out of the fountains, and he reached in his pocket and showed whoever was making the documentary a $20 gold piece fished out of a fountain. What if your kid reached in your pocket and got your $20 gold piece and threw it in the fountain?
Dead
kid. I'd be swimming.
You would you would kill a kid over $20.
No, he
I think
would
that
wish
volumes about Shelley
he were
Wright.
Dead.
You would make the kid wish he were dead. That's right. The coin in the fountain and the connection with the Chinese woman throwing a coin at the engine. That happened because as I'm reading that story, I'm piecing together in my mind, wouldn't it be better to just toss a coin in the fountain at the airport for luck instead of throwing the coin into the airplane's engine?
Yeah.
You ever seen that video of that guy on the flight deck of that aircraft carrier? You know, he's like one of those dudes that's got the lights, and he's like taxiing, you know, the planes to go take off into the ocean, you know, like for war.
Right.
And he gets sucked into the jet engine.
Oh, man.
And he lived.
No.
Yeah. He came out. He didn't even, it wasn't even like after 30 hours of search, he came out and walked away.
Holy smokes.
It was like his helmet that saved him. It happened so quick. He's standing there, and they're really close to the planes, you know, and it's just like he's there, gone. sucked right into the jet. And then it spit him out the other side.
Jeez.
And he was in one piece. Isn't that crazy?
That is scary. I've seen some pretty scary footage of like guys in pit crews at some of these Indy races or Grand Prix or whatever getting run over because they just weren't fast enough on their feet, you know, after they had put on a new tire or whatever. It's scary stuff. Scary stuff out there in the industries. And, gosh, yeah. Anyway, I think maybe throwing coins into airplane engines or car engines, for that matter, not such a good idea. But, Shelley, what are, like, some good luck coin superstitions that you know of? I think we mentioned, you know, finding a coin, if it's tails up, it's bad luck. If it's heads up, it's good luck.
It's good luck, and you can pick it up and, leave the ones with tails down. Pretty much the bad luck coin stories and currency stories are the ones where people were just really stupid. You cleaned a coin, and it ended up being a really super amazingly valuable collector coin, and you've just destroyed its value, and now it is pocket change. Or the people that ripped the corners off of the $2 bills, ensuring that it will never be worth more than $2.
Right. Yeah, I've seen the $2 bills with the corners torn off because supposedly they're unlucky.
Yeah.
Without that corner
torn
off.
I had a stupid dollar bill the other day that I couldn't spend anywhere because somebody drew a Hannibal Lecter face. Who's on the $1 bill? George Washington.
Right.
They drew a Hannibal Lecter mask on him, and none of the Ingalls or anything would bill acceptors would accept it.
You could go to the self-serve line.
Then I have to interact with people.
This self-serve means you don't have to.
No, the machine wouldn't accept it.
Well,
because it had ink on the front or something.
I
tried it like four different angles.
It's a dark 30 hour. We took it easy on you this first segment. Believe me, it gets rough from here. So if you're squeamish, tune out. If you're brave, stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. You got the accoutrement over there. Are you ready, Shelley?
I'm ready.
Flagler County, Florida. Sheriff's office is looking for a man who is clad in nothing but pantyhose in a Home Depot parking lot. His choice of attire isn't the issue. A Flagler County Sheriff's Office is looking to speak with him because he was tying pantyhose to other people's cars and left about 50 pairs in the parking lot tied to those cars. We need to identify him before this escalates to a more serious crime. The man was wearing pantyhose and carrying a magic wand. I wonder if he had been consulting the practical guide to wand making, he should be easy to identify, or the tedious guide to wand making. Yeah, wearing pantyhose, carrying a wand, and tying pantyhose to people's cars. Just what is going on there? Flagler County. Flagler's up there past, just above Daytona,
Stark,
isn't it?
Somewhere near Stark.
I think I should be able to mention a town from Flagler. I think it's just north of Volusia. I think it's over there.
I wasn't just making that up. I think it is near Stark, is it not?
No, Stark is over on the kind of in the armpit.
No, I don't think so. I thought it was on the top right, like going into Georgia.
Stark is where the state prison is. Yeah, That's where old Sparky's at.
Yeah. I could be wrong.
Hmm.
It's been since fourth grade since I did my Florida report.
Get this. Rob Lowe says he was almost killed by Bigfoot. I'm fully aware that I sound crazy. Hollywood actor Rob Lowe has claimed that an encounter with the legendary beast Bigfoot almost cost him his life. According to the 53-year-old star, he came face-to-face with Sasquatch while filming his new paranormal reality series, The Low Files. We had an incredible encounter with what locals call the wood ape, he said of his alleged brush with a mythical animal whose existence is yet to be confirmed despite countless supposed sightings. The Low Files docuseries will see the star and his two sons investigate paranormal occurrences, with the encounter with Bigfoot the most disturbing. We're 100 miles from the nearest town. We spent 45 minutes on the most rugged, brutal mountain trails. It's 1 in the morning. There are a lot of serious former military men with loaded weapons. Then something starts approaching our camps that is defying their orders to stop and their warnings that they are armed. The Parks and Recreation star said he was genuinely terrified by the run-in with a mythical animal. I was lying on the ground thinking I was going to be killed. Lowe admitted that he sounded like a crazy Hollywood kook, but refused to say whether viewers will actually get to see the creature on screen. Sightings of the creature have been reported across America, including in national parks such as Yellowstone and at the American Fork Canyon in Utah. Rob Lowe, if he had just made that announcement and didn't have a show, maybe it would make me stop and take notice. But what do you think?
I think he's a pretty man. What a pretty fella that guy is.
He is a handsome.
Handsome devil.
I like his face. Funny, Rob Lowe.
Funny guy, too.
But the Low Files, how low would you go to plug or attract attention for your show? I don't know whether to trust people with reality shows.
I don't have this on the paper in front of me for Dark 30, but you just said, how low can you go? And I'm not thinking of the song with the same, but we haven't talked about this at all. OJ got paroled.
Ooh.
Yeah, I saw that.
OJ got paroled.
Ooh.
Now, we haven't discussed this off air either.
No.
There's not like a weird, it's not like OJ got paroled and went out and committed a double homicide. But it is a weird story, kind of.
Yeah.
And maybe we should get to it at some point. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
They were showing his appeal on television, right? Pretty much a live stream of that. They were trying to make CBS was trying to make a big
publicity
grab.
I was on the air when it happened, and so I played some audio from it. But I know there's been a lot of, you know, that documentary was on recently, like that 4-hour documentary OJ in America, or there was it's a much deeper story than you would think, but or than it seemed at the time. Even it was such a huge event, but like what's levels and levels and levels underneath was like, wow, I never even like really thought about all that. But still, it comes down to the fact that if you commit if you get acquitted, and pretty much the whole world knows that you kind of did it, and you wrote a book called If I Did It, describing every minute detail
right.
of if you did it, and you got acquitted of it, that you would probably lay low and not kidnap and armed rob people in like on video. That just seemed really dumb. It was like, dude, you deserve to go to jail for that just for being dumb.
I think if he lives long enough, he'll go completely crazy. And I wonder what's next for OJ, but I can't imagine it would be anything short of absolutely insane. Maybe he'll run for president next time.
And he might get elected.
Might because get it.
It's like he does have this aura about him of like he does have a likability. Like people like him.
He has a strange charisma,
a Kavorka.
Much like Ted Bundy did.
Well, Ted Bundy, I mean, the ladies liked him.
Yeah.
For a little while. A new Brown Fells, Texas man with history of deviant sex acts. It's the Dark 30 Hour. Chase the kids away. Tune out if you're not ready for this. A man with a history of deviant sex acts with vegetables sentenced to life in prison. Jury sentenced the 56-year-old man to life in prison on charges of drug possession and tampering with evidence after a Texas state trooper found him sitting in his truck with melted candle wax on his bare chest and a collection of meth-filled syringes, male enhancement pills, lube, and a cooler of frozen cucumbers and veggies with him. Police were called as a man was seen engaging in sex with a basket of vegetables at a truck stop in public view. Police at first thought the reports they were receiving were prank phone calls. After the arrest, police records showed the man had been arrested several times before for sexual incidents involving sex with vegetables in public.
Don't knock it till you try it, Vance. I mean, a sweet tater, you know, is a sweet potato a vegetable?
A yam? Tuber?
I was going to say, I don't even know what a tuber and a vegetable. Well, you got to luber that tuber.
I don't know. I can't think of what. No, I'm going to go with tuber.
And yeah. Survey says
tuber. Tuber. You ready? Ready with the bell there, Shelly?
Yeah.
Florida.
Oh.
There. Okay. Man who stole a forklift 2 months ago struck again, and he had the same reason. He didn't want to walk. The 43-year-old man was coincidentally barefoot once again when he stole another forklift in Port Orange, Florida. When deputies found the barefoot man, he parked the equipment in a spot for handicapped drivers. He was talking to himself while swearing and throwing his hands up. The barefoot man told deputies he took the vehicle because the keys were in the ignition and he was tired of walking. And this was like God saying, here you go. A similar incident happened in April when the same barefoot man stumbled upon a forklift in a Best Buy parking lot. The barefoot man was charged with grand theft for the second time. He's currently on probation for the first theft of a forklift and likely will have his probation revoked. Well, when God provides forklifts, why walk? I guess that's the message
your new T-shirt idea.
If God provides forklifts, why walk? That's a bumper sticker idea.
We have a saying at my job, which is at one of my jobs, which is hydraulics don't discriminate, which has to do with forklifts. Which means don't put your fingers near hydraulics.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That's a good T-shirt, too. Hydraulics don't discriminate.
You're listening to Speaking of Strange, just having a good old time. We'll be back with more Dark 30 material right after this break.
Farewell, Lola Blue. We're gonna miss you. 20-
Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. It's the Dark 30 Hour. Tune out if you're easily offended or if you're young and impressionable. Probably not such a good idea for me to start eating a zero bar just before I jump back on the microphone.
It's never a bad idea to eat a zero bar.
So you people get to hear me chewing on a zero bar. And if that sounds delicious, we'll be done here in a minute and you'll just have maybe enough time to run down to the gas station and grab a cheer wine and a zero bar. Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Zero and cheer wine. No, not really, but I wouldn't mind if they sent me some zero bars and cheer wine for saying so.
We're just not saying, just saying.
Right, just saying.
Just saying.
Tempe, Arizona, shortly before 11 p.m. on July 4th, police received a call about a naked, masturbating man inside the Walmart in downtown Tempe. He was just walking around the store doing his thing and saying hello to people. He told one family he was the new Walmart greeter. Officers arrived and found a 49-year-old man across the street completely naked, although he did have his shoes on. His face was painted like a clown. Officers later figured out was not makeup but permanent tattoo art on the man's face. According to police, the man admitted to walking into the Walmart after being dropped off by two people who thought it would be funny for him to be naked in Walmart. The man also admitted to taking drugs earlier in the day and said he was tripping his balls off. Police say he was charged with indecent exposure, public sexual indecency, and possession of dangerous drugs. Is that like a legal description, dangerous drugs, in the charge? Or do you think that's just kind of paraphrased?
I think it's just paraphrased. I wasn't paying attention to that. My ears percolated when I heard permanent clown makeup. there's bad decisions. And then there's bad decisions.
I mean, he might have been like a hardcore juggalo, right? ICP for life.
You know, they were in the news this past week. It's like the juggalos going to Washington. They're getting the Juggalo Nation to okay. do a march on Washington because, the FBI is trying to classify juggalos as a gang.
Oh.
And so they're having like a Faygo march on Washington. You know, Faygo, the poor man's pop, you know, and so they douse themselves in Faygo pop.
Okay. Pop. The artists known as Insane Clown Posse.
Those guys got a huge following.
They do. They have a very devoted following.
And I want to go to the gathering one year. I think that would be pretty awesome.
It looks interesting. Yeah, it looks interesting. I was never a big fan, but to each his own. Shelley, are you ready again? Man pretending to be cop arrested after trying to pull over an actual police officer in uniform. A Hialeah. What's wrong with that thing? Did somebody put their chewing gum in the?
I think they did.
Shelley,
darn man.
It's all gobbed up with zero bar. A Hialeah, Florida security guard was arrested Wednesday evening after attempting to pull over a real Miami police officer. The man, identified as a 46-year-old city resident, rolled down the window of his Ford Mustang and flashed a silver badge at her, telling her to hang up the phone and saying in Spanish, "Policia, stop the car." The officer was driving in an unmarked police car but was in uniform, according to the report. She called police for backup. Two more officers arrived and arrested the man. When asked why he had a badge, the man told them he was a security guard and that he had tried to stop her because it is very dangerous to be on the phone while driving, and he had a badge and knew how to use it. They said, "Did you not see the woman was wearing a police uniform and was on duty?" The man said, "This still does not mean she can break the law, and I had every right to make a citizen's arrest, as this is in the Constitution." The man was charged with one count of impersonating a police officer.
Can I throw in a story? This was one that I saw when I was doing on my rock.
Yeah, man.
And it's a shall we get the zero bar out of the...
Yeah.
Okay, this went down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. When a Florida man's cocaine disappeared from his car, he made a phone call. Not to his boys, not to his peeps, to the police. David Blackman, 35, of Fort Walton Beach, called deputies Sunday morning to report that someone had stolen a bag of cocaine and cash from his car, according to a statement from the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Department. He told a deputy who responded that he was a drug dealer, so he's up front, forthright, right to the point, and that someone had broken into his vehicle while it was parked, taking about $50 in cash and a quarter ounce of cocaine. So the deputy saw some coke still lingering on the center console next to a crack rock, and there was a crack pipe on the floor near the driver's seat. Okay, so he was then arrested, charged with resisting an officer without violence, possessing drug paraphernalia and cocaine, a felony, and he gave $4,000 bail, yada, yada, yada. But I think what the story is failing to report on is really who's leaving the cocaine in their car in South Florida. The humidity is going to make it so sticky, it's worth, I mean, that alone is a jailable offense, man. I think we all know that.
Abuse of cocaine, huh? It's like leaving your kids or your pets in the car, right?
You know, like you've heard stories about people bashing out a window of a car because there's a dog in there. There's a bag of cocaine in that car. Get it out.
Save it.
I had to rescue the cocaine, and I just took the $50 as a finder's
fee. $50.
Yeah. Right. Nuclear reaction. Fury after Czech power plant holds bikini beauty contest to win an internship. A nuclear power plant in the Czech Republic was pelted with criticism for holding a bikini beauty contest to win an internship. Women stripped down to their swimwear to pose up for photographs in the plant's cooling tower, and Facebook users were asked to vote for their favorite. 10 school graduates signed up for the competition in the South Bohemian region of the country. The plant claimed the women had enjoyed the experience, but when the pictures went live on its Facebook page, the backlash started. Many questioned why boys were not allowed to compete, and eventually the company issued an apology stating all 10 applicants had won. In a statement on the Facebook page entitled Infotemelin, the plant said, "We didn't want to offend anyone. We are just guys who run this and thought, hey, this would be fun for everyone, and we would get to see hot women. We did not know we would offend the whole world." Nuclear beauty bikini contest. That's I have no problem with that.
What was that trauma movie?
Toxic Avenger?
No, Class of Nuke 'Em High.
Class of Nuke 'Em High, okay. Yeah.
That should be better than Young Guns for your movie pick of the week.
Probably is a better pick.
It's right up there with Surf Nazis Must Die.
Troma had Redneck Zombies.
The Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, Redneck Zombies was a classic as well. So many. What's the Suribachi, Chief Kabuki Man? Have you ever seen the Chief Kabuki Man movies?
No.
Yeah, that's a Troma presentation. Yeah, so many great Troma films. I think Joshua was pretty tight with the guy from Troma. Interviewed
what?
Him on Speaking of Strange a few years ago.
You don't say.
Yeah, true story.
Those VHS tapes are worth a lot now.
Couple attacks mom, daughter over cold chicken. This is kind of old news. This is what happens when your host goes out of the country for a month, and we get kind of backlogged because I think this story has resolved itself and that the couple has been apprehended. But it happened in Baxley, Georgia. Police continue their search for a Georgia couple who attacked a mother and her 15-year-old daughter at a roadside chicken stand. The mother who runs Chick Quick in Baxley, Georgia, said the incident started when the couple complained their food was cold. And the woman said when she went back and forth with the couple a few times and then refunded their money, but it appeared that was not enough. She went berserk, the woman said.
Berserk!
They both lost it, hit him and her both, the customers. They both lost it, started cussing and beating on the window, and they were yelling and making chicken noises and acting crazy. The woman said she told the couple police were on the way and they best leave. The woman started punching and slapping her in the face. What the woman could not see was her 15-year-old daughter had gotten out of her truck to help her mom, and one of my employees yelled, "He's got her, he's got her," and that's when I realized he had hit her, the woman said. Who does that? Who punches a child like she's a grown man standing there? He needs putting under the jail. Baxley police chief called the attack, which was caught on the restaurant security camera, brutal and the people crazy. The woman gave them a free meal, a refund, and she is seen on the camera apologizing and offering them another meal, and she promised it will be hot. Once the story hit social media, the police department was flooded with tips that helped police identify the couple by name. Now both face several felony charges.
What restaurant was that at?
Chick Quick in Baxley, Georgia. Quick Chick.
Okay.
Yeah, Quick Chick, Baxley, Georgia.
Regional.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Just had to make sure. Get the facts straight on that. Just the facts, Vance.
I'm just shaking my head over the audacity of someone to beat down...
The audacity of chicken.
Beat down a restaurant owner and her 15-year-old daughter over cold chicken. Ain't nothing
Don't
wrong.
Don't serve me no sloppy, slimy eggs.
We're winding this thing here down, and we'll be out of your hair in about another 10. But stick around for the last segment, won't you? It's Speaking of Strange. Welcome back to the final minutes of Speaking of Strange. It is still the dark 30 hour, so we've got a little Florida roundup here. We're going to do a Florida flash round, speed round, Florida speed round here in the last few minutes.
That sounds dirty.
Shelley, cops discover meth lab, golf cart, chop shop in retirement community garage, The Villages, Florida. A hilariously large retirement community is the fastest growing city in the country with more than 117,000 people, 48 golf courses, geriatric sex with a resulting sky-high rate of STDs, and absolutely no children. They're only permitted to visit for up to 30 days a year. Residents primarily drive golf carts, with some luxury models costing up to $25,000. But earlier this week in The Villages, there was news of another kind, a drug bust, followed by the discovery of a possible golf cart chop shop. Sumter County Sheriff's deputies and a SWAT team raided the one villager's house Wednesday morning. After complaints from residents, there they arrested five people on drug charges, including sale of methamphetamine and possession of heroin. One man was charged with the real-sounding crime of unlawful use of a two-way communication device.
They just come up with that stuff.
But Chief Deputy Sheriff told reporters police also found what they believed to be a golf cart chop shop after multiple golf cart parts were found in the home. This is not the first time police have been involved in golf cart thievery at The Villages. Just last month, police made three arrests stemming from a golf cart theft ring in and around the retirement community. Police said one of the men arrested in that undercover bust told them he steals about 30 golf carts a month. That's one a day. Where do you even find the time to steal that many golf carts? Anyway, the going rate for a stolen golf cart is $600 to $1,200. So clearly, I'm in the wrong line of work, says the author of this article from Deadspin.com. I read different accounts of The Villages. The Villages, Florida, is kind of like a elder commune, it sounds to me.
Is that in Clearwater?
Pasco County is like
it's closer to
Zephyr Hills. If you've ever heard of Zephyr Hills, there's not really a whole lot up there. Dade City, Zephyr Hills.
The one I was thinking of was called The World. It was a retirement community that looked like different countries by my grandma's house.
The Villages, Florida. I was just reading up on it a couple of months ago because it turns out that a guy from down in Greenville, South Carolina, who played in a garage rock band, the Bojacks, a pretty successful regionally garage rock band. He plays with like the house rock band at The Villages. It's like The Villages, Florida has a house band, you know.
That's how hip elderly communities are.
Every night they have like a rock concert, and this guy plays in the house band at The Villages, Florida.
We've done stories on that in the Dark 30 before, Shelley. I remember, you know, some of these stories about swinging elderly communities in Florida, like where they're just getting down. It's just like Roman in its decadence.
Jeez. Oh, it's a speed round. Florida man steals van, tries to board plane after jumping on wing. A Florida man stole a van, jumped out of the van and onto a plane's wing and tried to board the aircraft that was preparing to taxi down a runway, according to police. The man pretended to be a police officer, and when he had a woman step out of her van, he then jumped in and drove it off. He yelled at the woman, "Sorry, official police business." After that, the man headed straight to the Lakeland Linder Airport, where his plan was to make the pilot take him somewhere, according to police. He went through a business parking lot, entered the airfield, and gained access to the runway, police said. Just as he was about to open the plane's door, a lieutenant from the Lakeland Police Department pulled him back onto the runway. He was charged with multiple offenses, including grand theft and burglary. To an occupied conveyance. Burglary to an occupied conveyance.
Conveyance?
Conveyance can't so, dance,
it sounded
but
to
he'll
me
steal
like,
your money.
It sounded like part of the plot of Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Remember, like, where he's got to get off the plane, but he has X amount of time.
Sorry,
before they
official police business.
Remember, he killed the guy with the elbow to the face, and then he jumped down. He got into the landing gear and then dropped into the swamp. And that's probably.
Wait, we started out with Young Guns, and we end up on Commando. Well, I mean, we run the
gamut.
Actually,
we end up on Link Ray.
And that ain't a bad thing, not at all. Hope you got your Florida fix. It's nice to be away on vacation, but I can't lie, it's good to be back. Speaking of strange, would like to thank Joshua P. Warren, Mr. Mobius, Brian Hall, Joshua Dindy, Aaron, and all the other contributors to the content, both here on the show and on the Facebook page, speakingofstrange.com. Share all that good stuff with your friends, and let's do this again next week. Good night.